everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Horror Friendly Podcast. My name is Katie, and I am joined yet again by Charlie, is back.
Hello.
Chantelle, and we have a very special guest joining us today. It is Chantelle's partner, Mitch. Hi, Mitch.
Hi.
You can tell he's a newbie.
Spoke over Katie, you're out of practice.
Oh, sorry, I'll be quieter.
It's okay, because then I spoke over Charlie, so it shows neither of us know what we're doing.
Well, we thought we'd get Mitch on this week's episode, because as we were talking before we started recording, I've always associated this film with Mitch, because when I first met him, we talked about this film and Silent Hill. So, yeah, thought we'd get him on, get his perspective.
Is it because he's a deformed, disturbing...
I wasn't going to say anything,
but... I mean, I am the British version of a redneck, so that's fine.
See, he's allowed to say that. He's from the... I can't say it, the incestuous West Country. It's making me sound bad.
But it is the incestuous West
Country. You've just said it.
Yeah. The problem is, you don't have your accent anymore. So you can sit there, but you don't sound... West Country anymore, so you just sound like you're slagging off a part of the country.
I mean, I can stop drinking and sound for
some. Yeah, get some soda out. There's not enough soda in your blood system right now.
Cut him and he bleeds cider.
Literally. Oh, but how are you doing, Charlie? Back after, was it 2 weeks off?
Yeah, I don't know how long off. one episode is 2 weeks. I still haven't actually got around to watching Megan yet, so I can't even listen to the episode.
Love it.
That you've recorded, but I will watch it because obviously I need to give him my scores at some point before the end of the season, which is, well, this is the second to last episode, isn't it?
The penultimate, yeah.
Penultimate, yeah, that word. So yeah, I still need to watch Megan, just life got busy, you know?
To toot our own horn, but it's a pretty good episode. So.
All right. It's always a pretty good episode when I'm not in it.
Humble brag.
But you said that I don't survive again.
Seems well.
You have to listen to find out.
I mean, I've got to watch it to figure out if I would survive or not, but obviously I will survive because it's me.
Obviously.
But yeah.
Do you know of another route heading south?
No.
Hey, why is this Bear Mountain Road dotted like this?
Dirt.
It's a dirt road?
Bet they ain't got around to paving it yet.
Well, it looks like it runs in the highway about 15, 20 miles. Is that right?
You say so.
Good work.
Thank you very much. You take care, okay?
Hi listener, the episode ahead contains a brief talk about rape, so please stay mindful when listening ahead. The episode also contains lots of spoilers for Wrong Turn 2, 3, 4, 5 and 6. So sorry about that.
Okay, well, Charlie's back with one hell of an episode. I feel like you probably would have preferred the last one, but then again, this one's gore, so you never know. So we are doing the 2003 Wrong Turn, the start of the series. Chris and a group of five friends are left stranded deep in the middle of the woods after their cars collide. As they venture deep into the woods, they face an uncertain and blood-curdling fate. Charlie, first thoughts? First time watching?
First time watching was a couple of years ago. It was about 6 years ago. My daughter was a newborn at the time. I remember at the time I sort of went through like a, I don't really know if I'm honest, but I watched like for 6 movies and I enjoyed them a lot from what I remember. This time watching it though, I've sort of forgotten just how good it is at like building up suspense, but the actual action scenes themselves are pretty shit, or it might be the acting itself is pretty shit, but yeah, the suspense build up is really good. It's a bit funny. Yeah, I like it. It is a fun film. And yeah. Yeah. It's all
Katie,
right.
Katie, what about you?
Oh God, I don't know when the first time I watched this. It was years ago. I haven't seen all of them, but I've seen this one and the second one. When I rewatched it, I'm not going to lie, I was a bit disappointed. I kind of just got a bit bored. Don't think the plot's that great. There's not a lot of gore. It's not that scary. I wouldn't pick it for a pizza party film. But yeah, it's not as good as I remember it, if I'm honest. But that could just be because maybe it just hasn't aged very well and I just got a bit bored. It is funny that like it follows the Saw theme that like the second one was like a lot gorier, kind of the same with Saw. So yeah, that was kind of interesting. But yeah, so a little bit disappointed. I thought I was going to like this one a little bit more. But yeah, what do you think, Mitch?
So I think, like what you said, I think the first time I ever saw this, I'd gone to a friend's house and we put it on. So it's like you say, it's like a pizza party film. But although I think you're right, I don't think it has aged particularly well. It's whenever you guys talk about horror films, this is always the one that pops into my head. Mm. Like this is what I would class as your quintessential basic bare bones horror film, and then everything else is sort of like built from that. But yeah, every time someone says, oh, let's watch a horror film, this is always the first one that appears in my head, purely because of that.
Okay. What do you think, Tal?
So, yeah, I kind of agree with a bit of everyone, really. Like, it's not the one where I'd be like, oh my God, it's the best horror ever. Everyone has to see it. But it does the tension so well. Like, it kind of does the Quiet Place thing, and I know this came out before Quiet Place, where, like, those tense scenes didn't have any, like, music. So it was actually, but it was also, like, they were crawling out of that bed in real time. So it really made you, like, your heart started, because you're like, fuck, like, what if that guy wakes up? As if you're there, like, I'm not part of this. Like, I'm fine, I'm safe. But I think it does that really well. But then there's other bits where the acting kind of lets it down, or just bits let it down. The continuity is shit, which is really distracting and really takes you out of the film.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, and there were so many, it was hard because again, we've kind of joked about this before and we've said it on here before, where like people don't know they're in a horror film. Whereas in this, Scott called it out straight away. So you had one character kind of trying to do everything right and another character just being completely dumb, thinking they were in a rom-com. So it was weird kind of seeing that contrast was quite interesting. But yeah, don't know. I don't hate it, though. But I don't know if it is the kind of nostalgia aspect why I still like it.
Okay.
What did you make of the beginning with the climbing?
I mean, it's kind of like a standard way to sort of start a horror film, isn't it? When you kind of have some characters completely unrelated to the whole plot, kind of like Scream, you know, when they do those kills at the beginning, or they're like distantly related to the main characters. Yeah, I thought it was good. I guess it kind of set the scene. I feel like, I know they probably didn't want to introduce the bad guy straight away, but I feel like her death didn't have to be off screen. I felt like it could have been a lot gorier. I feel like they missed the mark on that a little bit. What do you guys think?
She's really unlikable. And I know she's literally just there to die, but she's a really unlikable character, which sucks because I literally in my head went, and I hate the term, but like a pick me girl. Where she's obviously tried to impress this guy, been like, yeah, I'll come climbing, and then actually can't do it. And it, like, you know, it looks like a hard route, but still, like, he'd obviously gone over the ledge and was just like, pull me up, pull me up, pull me up. And I was like, oh my God, I'd fucking drop you. But.
So she only has herself to blame.
So clearly.
Is what you're saying.
They just got annoyed. They were napping.
Basically, don't lie on your Tinder date that you're into certain hobbies when you're not.
And like, the thing is, she had her own shoes, so maybe she was really into it. But I am going to ask Mitch about this one, because Mitch is a climber.
Okay.
So what were your thoughts?
Like, that, the entire opening sequence completely takes me out of it to begin with, and I don't pay attention to any of the horror stuff because all of the climbing stuff, like I am a kit nerd, I do like climbing, but like everything that they're using is completely wrong. So they're using things with the climb, and everything's just set up completely wrong. So the entire time I'm going, what the fuck are you doing? And it's the same as The Descent, which is another great film. She goes into that cave with an ice axe. It's called an ice axe for a reason. There's no way that there's any reason to have that other than to be used as a weapon later in the film. I'm just looking at all the kit and I'm going, every single thing is wrong. I hope you all fucking die.
Can we get Mitch back as a frequent,
literally,
theoretically correct person, please?
Is this accurate in the real world? No, it fucking isn't. Yeah.
Is this realistic? No.
Yeah, is this technically accurate?
I actually think when we did The Descent, I actually said, I can't know if I gave Mitch credit or if I just took all of his facts and was just that's wrong, that's wrong.
I think you took credit for that, Tel.
I think I did.
How rude.
But there's definitely been things Mitch has pointed out in films, and I'm like, it should be obvious, but it's not, because even though I've done some of that stuff, not to the degree Mitch has, so I'm just like watching it going, of course, that's a rope, that'll do, and it's not. It's apparently the wrong stuff, so.
So basically you guys were sitting there like, oh, babe, I just wouldn't have done it that way.
Just like...
I wouldn't put that carabiner there.
Please. Yeah, I want to put that there. That's just, you know, I mean, that's
so mistake. You were just like the smug couple, like watching this, like, wouldn't have done that. No, that's ridiculous.
Like, straight off the bat, we'd survive.
Straight off the bat, we'd have survived this bit because we'd have had the right kit.
This bit only.
Yeah.
That's all right. I'm not going to say it. Yeah, I'll say it later in the film. But Mitch, okay. The amount of comments Mitch came out with, I was like, wow, I can already tell you he thinks he'll survive this because there were so many comments all the way through.
Yeah, how much archery has Mitch had
experience with? I'm an archery leader. I coach in archery for like 10 years.
Charlie, so do I. We're literally archery instructors. Like, that was our job.
You two are going to be so annoying in this episode.
Yeah.
Fuck it. Katie, should we just leave them to it?
Yeah, literally.
Mitch was ropes and targets. I was ropes, targets and water. Mitch was trained in water but didn't get the qualification because he didn't want to. He hates it. So he knows how to do it, he just doesn't like it. But anyway, enough about us. Okay, so then we meet Chris. And then we meet all the others. What did you think of like that group?
Oh, I'm just going to say, Chris introducing himself. Hi, I'm Crispin. And it's just like, you don't need to give your full name.
I was like, is this a cis white male thing where you can give your full name and not worry that someone's going to find you and social media stalk you?
Yeah, probably.
Or is it because it was 2003 and that? Like, why would you give your surname?
Yeah, that was weird.
I never give my surname.
Not required, not needed.
So you're not James Bond? Calm the fuck down.
I mean, yeah, it was the kind of stereotypical group of people, wasn't it? You got the couple that stayed behind, start shagging, all of that.
And so, well, they screwed themselves over. They had sex, so they're going to die.
Yeah, you kind of got like the pretty final girl that you know is probably going to get with Chris Flynn. Yeah, it's pretty bog standard, but that's not a bad thing. That's kind of just like...
horror.
Exactly, that's just slashers for you, really. And especially in 2003, you're not going to get anything different, really. And you kind of had that guy, was he kind of comic effect? You know, the one that was with, remember her name.
So it was Scott and Carly were the engaged couple.
Yeah, so it was Scott, he was a bit more kind of, made kind of like, like sarcastic comments and, well, not all the time, but like he was a little bit more.
But he was also, he was the common sense. So he was the one like calling out that like, whose house is that? Let's not go in the house. Like he was literally like, why would you go in? And it just seemed like so stupid where Carly was like, oh, but I really need a wee. I was like, I don't give a, like, no, just piss yourself.
You sit and squat.
Like you've just come out of a wood.
You pissed yourself.
Yeah, you haven't seen anyone for miles. Like the only person there you're engaged to and then your other two friends, they'll turn their back. Like, no, I just didn't understand. Also, she didn't end up peeing anyway. I don't think.
Yeah, I think she weed, and then she saw the body in the bath, didn't she?
Oh, yeah, I think she did weed. But I was just like, I quite like Scott's character because he was like the common sense. But it was, he obviously then still managed to get dragged into the situations.
Mm.
It was weird because like Jesse was kind of, it showed you her perspective at points where she was like noticing the minibus, not the minibus, like the, like a van, like a VW. And like the bike and the graffiti on it. So she was like picking up clues. That's like quite a touristy thing, but she wasn't vocalizing it.
Mm.
Whereas like Scott was just straight up like, yeah, let's not go in that house.
Yeah. That's true. I do love the kind of bog standard, like the stereotypical additions sort of in the film, like, you know, the old man that's like, don't go up there. You're going to get killed. And then, like, they walk into the cabin and then they see all these, like, sketchy things. And it really follows that kind of, like...
Cabin in the Woods vibe.
Yeah, literally. But, yeah, I'm here for it. But, yeah, it doesn't go off piece at all. It's literally, like, yeah, I've got to follow that routine. The old man's got to be in there. He's got to warn you.
But it was weird because the old man at the end was also scared of the, like, hill. I'm going to call them the hill bits.
Well, that's the first sort of thing. He doesn't actually say anything to the lads until after he's left in the car. And then obviously he hides himself because he don't want anything to do with them.
Mm.
I wouldn't want anything to do with them.
And also, like, because again, this was your biggest, well, not your biggest pet peeve, but one of your pet peeves was like, if you've already come across traffic, now you're having to go down a dirt track and now you've hit another car. At what point do you go, I'm in a horror film, and turn around and walk home? Like, because that was, like, you turn around and you're like, why did they just not walk back to the petrol station?
Like, they've got so much stuff in the back of that Land Rover. They've got so much camping equipment. They say that they've got food. They've obviously got water, all of that.
Mm.
Why would you not just walk back out to the gas station, or even further than that, back up onto the highway to be like, hello, Mr. Policeman, that's obviously here for the other crash. Please come and help us. Why would you not do that?
Like why?
You're actively choosing to be in a horror film at that point.
Like, they went the other direction and then found an abandoned house. Like,
yep.
And again, it's one of those things with horror. It doesn't progress if they don't do the stupid thing.
There should have been more reasons to stay.
Yeah. Although, actually, you say that, I think they didn't have... Well, I don't know about the food thing, because obviously the couple that were shagging were trying to find loads of food.
Well, the, what's his chops?
Scott?
The douchebag. No, Evan, is it? The quintessential spiked hair
douchebag. Oh, yeah, Evan.
That got killed first. It's just like, oh, they've taken all my power bars.
Also, when he makes the remark about being called a stoner as well.
I mean, he kind of was.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, he was, but it's like, why is he self-conscious being called a stoner? Like, I don't think stoners really care if they get called stoners because they normally know that they're stoners.
It depends if they're stoned at the time you call them a stoner.
What if their surname's Stoner and they get called Stoner?
Oh my God.
No, yeah.
Sorry, the multiverse of
stoners. I was going to say, it's like stone section. Stone section. But yeah, no, that fucking house. Like, I'm not even kidding. As soon as I opened the door, I think I'd have been like, no, I'm out.
Literally, you just walk in and be like, obviously I'm not going in here. Like, yeah. I'm going to find a fucking alien in a jar or a dead body in at the bath.
Which is worse than the alien.
It's giving me Texas... Like, this came out in 2003, but the Texas Chainsaw Massacre had already been out. Like, come on, yeah. Educate yourselves.
Yeah, come
also,
on.
Also, like, surely the smell...
It's going to give it away.
How was there not a smell?
How rotting flesh. Smells like death before you've even got to it.
Yeah, there's knives and dried blood and random bits of mystery meat all over the tables.
Mystery meat.
And like, even before they walk in, Scott's like, do I have to remind you guys of the deliverance? And it's like, there you go.
Well, there we go.
He's called again that they're in a film. Like, but yeah, I'd imagine you'd be able to smell that house walking down the driveway.
Yeah.
Like, even if they were hunters, I wouldn't risk it.
And she wanted to go pee in that.
Again, it's when Scott's like, I mean, she's like, where's the bathroom? And Scott's like, I think we're in it. If that was their kitchen and that's where they're willing to eat, where do you think they're willing to shit?
I mean, I don't think they're really fussed on what they eat either, if we're...
But we didn't know that at that point, though, did we? I mean, we did. We're not stupid. We know it's a horror film. But If that's, yeah, like, oh my God, no, I wouldn't even want to see them. Although I love as well, she's like, I really need to go. Goes into the bathroom and spends 5 minutes checking her hair. Hey, bitch, you were not that desperate.
She was a proper annoying character, to be fair. Carly?
Carly.
Yeah.
I was, you know, I didn't love her character, but I really felt for her when Scott died.
Yeah.
Shut up. Literally, at that point, Scott, I fucking hate Scott Steph because I actually really dig him as a character.
Also, it was a cool way for him to die as well. Because also, we've already had one shot. Chris Flynn has been shot in the leg.
I actually love that he's meant to be like, he's like, I'm macho, I'm going to save the day and then immediately get shot. Like, I do love that because it's like, no.
Immediate failure.
Yeah, but I like that it kind of knocked him down. But also, it's a horror film. Like, the reality is, you're probably going to get hurt.
But also the fact that he's a doctor and he still managed to survive however long with a fucking bullet in his leg.
Was it a bullet or an arrow? I can't remember.
He didn't take an arrow to the knee.
What does buckshot mean?
It's like tiny little pellets.
Oh.
So it's not like having a hole blown in your leg. It's more like being hit with a handful of sand really hard.
Oh, basically like what you'd have if you're on a pirate ship. But it's a cloth. If that gets into your leg, that's what's got to cause the infection rather than the actual bullet itself or pellet.
I mean, if I'm on a pirate ship, I'm using the cannonballs. I'm not being funny.
Took a cannonball to my knee.
But no, the point where Scott gets like shot and obviously he stops and they're like, oh my God, why are you stopping? Keep going. And then he dies. And it was this thing, she's like, shut up, Carly. And I was like, what would you do if you just lost me? And he was like, look, compartmentalize, okay? I need to survive.
Yeah, she's gone now. I've just got to get on with it.
So, well, she's dead. Drive the car. Let's get out of here. I'll come back and get her body at a later date.
I will mourn later.
Literally. He's like, nah, I've got shit to do. Nice to know that you'll come back to mourn me.
He'll get a nice plaque with your face on somewhere.
Yeah.
In a park or a park bench.
In the house.
In the house, yeah.
He'll burn roller skating.
There'll be a house, burn the house down there and put a little plaque here, like Chantel.
Oh, oh, come on, Tal. Don't pretend like you wouldn't do the same.
Exactly.
Oh, maybe.
You know what? There is a running theme between three of us that Charlie would absolutely fucking leave us. And feel like me and Tal would have each other's backs. And I think Charlie would be like, nope.
If Mitch got shot.
Be ahead. Like ahead of us. Like, fuck
yeah,
you
like,
guys.
Fuck this.
Hang on, if
one of you's getting shot, I'm not fucking hanging around to give you a leg up.
There we go. Point proven.
But hang on, from what you've just said, you and I have each other's backs. So if Mitch gets shot, I compartmentalize and grieve later. If you get shot, I hang around and stay for you.
Correct. You hang around and you grieve for me at that moment, even if it means getting killed and eaten.
Scream to the sky, Captain!
Yeah, that's what I want. I
Let's
want
go
the full movie.
Basically, by this, that makes me a final girl.
It, I guess so, yeah. Fucking over everyone else.
The final girls are heartless.
Because final girls don't do that. Final girls, you know, help each other, so you would be a shit final girl.
I'd still be a final girl. Perfect title.
Maybe it would be instead that if me and Katie had to try, we like so upset, the adrenaline would kick in and that's when we just kill everyone with our bare hands. Start ripping
I mean,
heads.
Saying that with the final girl, there's two finals on this one.
There is.
True.
Yeah. Did we need Chris to survive?
I like the fact that he survived, but he definitely did not make that interview on time.
I would have preferred it if Scott had survived and Chris had died, only because we obviously saw Chris first, which meant we knew he was going to survive. We knew it was his story. So I would have loved that plot twist of like, no, kill him off. And he's a random guy you met halfway through the film who's not going to survive.
But yeah, it has happened before where like the main character has died halfway through and it does throw you off. So it would be quite an interesting thing to do. I don't know if like this was the right movie.
No, maybe not. I just
this was really just kind of given out like 2003 Breaking Benjamin credits.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm so glad that I had to Shazam it because I was like, I know this.
I know this song.
I know this song. This is like proper Grebo era me. Breaking Benjamin coming through there.
Yeah.
What did you make of the bit, obviously, because then they find the fire watchtower and they have to do the whole treetop adventure.
Fucking go ape.
Literally, that's what I wrote down. I was like,
well, I mean, you're asking us, but what did you guys think? I mean, you're the adventure, you're the go ape.
Was it technically
people.
Correct?
No, because trees don't grow like this.
You very rarely get trees just growing in perfectly parallel limbs that you can walk beautifully across. That's not how they work at all.
At one point, I was like, "Would you?" I literally was like, "Would you go higher, lower, or stay on that level?"
These are redneck trees, though.
These are redneck trees. You know, they're different. But I literally said to Mitch, I was like, "Would you go higher level or stay on this level?" And then realise trees shouldn't have a level.
Not running giant
trails. So I think
West Virginia, they're built different.
Yeah. Really? Well, one of them actually made a comment about West Virginia. Stoddy area. I was like, is it? There's a really nice song about it.
Again, before they got to the house, he was like, oh, you know, West Virginia trespassing. I can't see that going particularly well.
Mm.
It's just another reason.
Like, yeah, Tailhook was watching a completely different movie to the rest of us then.
It's ADHD. It's just all
yeah. To be fair, I will agree with you. This movie was, although 1 hour, 24 minutes, it was painstakingly long.
I don't know. I don't think it was too long because I think I liked the fact that because have we seen like a treetop adventure? That's what I'm going to keep calling it. Have we seen a go ape theme in the thing in the middle of a horror? It was just different. So I was like, yes, yeah, not
go ape.
I like as well.
Treetop pirates. Have we seen that?
I'm going to say no.
But like we haven't. So I was like, it's really clever going up like a fire watch tower because again, it should have a radio and lights. As Mitch said, like, because that was the thing. I was like, they have to use the glow sticks, otherwise they have to wait till morning because it's pitch black. But that was their downfall. And then obviously the radio was then too fucking loud. It was like, it was a lose-lose. Mm. But we haven't seen that before where people kind of went really high and then had to jump out the window. I'm all over the place, but why the fuck did Jessie jump back first? She like turned herself to land on her back.
Okay, I actually know that one.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Right, so... Jessie, Miss Dushku, as she's referred to, did the majority of her own stunts.
Yeah.
So when she jumped, she would have been turning her body to land on the crash pad, like the big air crash pad that they land on. So that's why she would have done it like that. I mean, don't get me wrong, like in the reality of the film, you would have just snapped your spine in half and hit that branch. But that's why she would have done it like that. Because the rest of them went face down.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't have been...
Yeah, they've been actual stunt doubles.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Go also, on, fun fact, if as you are a fan of the treetops scenes, they bring it back for number two, don't they? Obviously, little spoiler there, sorry.
Mm. No, it's terrible.
They do.
And then that's where they set it all alight. So obviously it was a fan favourite being up.
It was obviously a popular thing in the film.
Because this was it. I was like, because obviously if they escape from the house. So I will let other people talk in a minute. I'm aware I'm talking a lot tonight. Once you've escaped the house and you're just running through the woods, if we just watched an hour of them running through the woods, it really would have got really, really tedious. So I'm glad they added that in as something different.
Yeah, and it broke it up.
Yeah, it did. So it was good.
What did we make of the baddies as well?
Yeah, let's talk about them.
Oh,
mate. Oh, my God. I thought Three Finger was in the room with us just a minute ago.
What?
Fucking hell.
You were trying. I wasn't looking. I was like, what just happened?
Can you do that again, please?
I can't.
Come on, I had to do my Freddy Krueger more.
Right,
than
I'll watch them. I'll watch the recording.
No, I'll do it when you least expect it later.
Okay, thank you. Three Finger just, correct me if I'm wrong, but. I mean, Charlie, you've seen all of them. I'm not sure about Teller Mitch. I don't know how many you guys have seen. Yeah. But Three Finger is in, like, all of them, I want to say.
Yeah, yeah, okay. He somehow fucking makes it. But then during the opening credits, it goes on about how, like, inbreds have, like, a high pain threshold and don't feel stuff like that. But it's like, he comes back from the dead multiple times in this one.
He clearly has a fucking
he gets just worse and worse looking. Like he ends up with like obviously burns at the end of this one, and he was already fucking inbred with three fingers and fucking cackling away. Like,
but yeah, because he gets kicked out of the tree in the treetop adventure.
Yeah, kicked out of a tree, and he gets an axe to the neck, set alight.
You just hit the floor, gets up, and he's like, oh, well, that was a bit annoying. And walks off like he hadn't just fallen 60 metres out of a tree.
He doesn't feel pain.
Because he's still a human, though. Like, he would be paralysed, surely.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he'd probably be dead, but it's wrong turn, isn't it?
It's wrong turn, so there's no such thing.
So do his injuries throughout each film, like, reflect on the second film?
Yes. Which I like.
That's weirdly, like, consistent for Wrong Turn films.
Yeah.
Considering that bloody sunflower was on Scott's neck before we'd even got to the sunflower bit, yes, that is very consistent for them. The continuity errors were bugging me.
Also, the fact that he's underneath... Can we talk about the fact where he lifts himself up with his arms underneath the police car?
Yes! I literally was like, fuck off.
For,
like,
fuck's sake.
Oh, also, because you couldn't see how his legs were, like...
No! Especially like, after one's just been shot.
He's like fucking... Batman or something.
Just holding himself, fuck off. No.
But when the car pulls up to the house, he's not there, then all of a sudden he's there again underneath it. Like,
love it.
It's just so
superhuman strength.
No, that
but really it's why he just so easy, he just goes.
He just that's why he introduces himself as his full name, because he's a fucking superhero.
I'm Chris Flynn.
Literally. He just needs a fucking cape.
Well, you can't have the cape underneath the car. It would just tag along, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah, would have given him away.
Good job there's no bumps along that road.
I know.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, that I'm glad that it stayed nice and cool underneath the car for him to hang on to it for so long. And no fumes underneath there. Bit of carbon oxide.
Like, it's all just fucking stupid, because he would have burned his leg at least on the exhaust, if not everything else.
Yeah, but like on that that Jeep that he gets on the bottom of, like Charlie said, that exhaust would have run straight down the middle. So he's basically got an exhaust that's like a few hundred degrees straight down the middle of his body. Like, he's going to melt his dick off.
He would deserve it. But somehow he still held on with those abs and arms that out of fucking
massive arms.
And definitely has not been like dehydrated from lack of water, no food. Like,
I mean, they had the water for, so they could have got water there.
Yeah, but they didn't start a fire, did they?
No, good, you couldn't start a fire.
I know. So they couldn't like boil it. So it's got all diseases and rotting corpses in.
That's true, actually. Yeah, it'd be really dodgy to drink any of that water, because God knows what they've washed in it.
I know, it's like pretty much straight from a spring, but yeah, you don't know what's died in that.
But also, this was another point where we got a bit, like, survival. Right, if you're lost in the woods, what do they literally tell you to survive that you should find to find society and humanity again? Civilization. Like, if you ever get lost in a rainforest or something, they tell you to find something and follow it.
You've worded that in such a weird way.
You find a river and then you walk downstream.
So if they found the waterfall, why did they not follow the river?
Because they were being tracked, weren't they?
No, because they lost them in the waterfall.
Yeah, but look, the next day when they woke up, it zoomed in on the hedges. As if they were still being watched.
It was like the next day and they were, do you know what I mean? They moved past them and it was in the morning, so. Oh, they should have just followed the water. The fact they went then back to the road and back up and everything, I was like, I love as well, they were like, how are we getting down there? Down that hill. And then literally they were on a hill. I was like, did you go down that one? I don't know. It was all very confusing.
Also, talking about the waterfall thing again, like, I don't know whether it's because of the Quiet Place, but we know that obviously loud water is great because you can sort of camouflage around it. Surely the hillbillies knew that there was somewhat a path around it. Wouldn't that be a really obvious place to sort of hide?
Yeah.
I would put that as like a, if I was a hillbilly and
putting myself in the hillbilly shoes.
Put myself in it, yeah. If I was a hillbilly and I knew that there was a path around the back of a waterfall, because I know that land because I have been inbreeding myself there for 400 years, like, I would have taken a walk around the other side of it. I don't know.
Maybe they don't like being clean.
Oh, I mean, they do have some hygiene issues. Mm. That is for sure.
Yeah, because there was what, Sawtooth and One Eye as well.
So I love creative.
I mean, I love it. We never hear their names, but the names are great.
I think they're all right. Like, even to be fair, there's one, the one bit I did quite like was when they come back and obviously everyone's hiding and they bring the body back and stuff. I think that's quite cool. It's like a bit more of like a tense moment. It's kind of got obviously the horror elements sort of to it, and yeah, I thought that bit was quite good. It was quite tense because you didn't know if they were going to be found straight away, and so that bit was quite good. So when I say all of it was boring, it wasn't, but yeah,
I do
those kind of bits were good.
I do want to know why they took Jessie back, and like, I know obviously she's meant to be the final girl, so they couldn't have killed her straight away. But the fact they took her back and then tied her to the bed, obviously, like all the others, they kind of, like you say, they killed and then took their bodies back.
My pretty dark, but I reckon they were going to use her for breeding.
Oh, I hadn't even thought of that.
Well, Hills of Eyes did that, didn't they?
Yeah.
They
and also, in fact, like, she's perfectly intact. She's young.
Oh, I didn't even
think. She's a woman. That. They're not. That's women.
Fucking disgusting. Oh, I didn't even. Yay! Another level of horror.
Toys.
Oh, stop it. Oh. Yeah, no, that is probably true.
Imagine if a dick cheese on that.
Oh.
And there's your other level of horror.
When you didn't think it could get worse, it got worse.
It got worse. What's some good, huh?
The level of dick brain. Cheese. Christ alive.
That's disgusting.
So although, lovely. If we go into the second movie, of again, I know we're not covering it right now, but there is a sister as well. So I guess technically they don't really need. Yeah.
With well, I mean, there are still three of them, so they still need more women because they can't all get her pregnant at the same time.
Yeah, true.
Ugh, either way.
And also going off the remake as well. That is another idea that they.
Either way, I'm out. No, don't like it.
Okay.
Leave the poor girl alone.
But I think
so tell, wait till we cover Hills of Eyes. You're going to like.
I've seen Hills of Eyes and it's.
I was going to say.
I think it was just because I hadn't clocked that was why. And I was so like, why did they take her back? Because I was like, her screaming would have pissed me off. But like.
Yeah, I get. Actually, that does make sense because they tied her legs and stuff as well, didn't they?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like, but they, no.
Sorry.
Oh,
no, it's
Jessie.
Fine. You didn't write the film. guys. But yeah. Although, actually, so we completely skipped over her death, actually. Carly's.
I love her death.
Brutal. Like, the worst thing was, I literally, again, we were watching it together, and as she walks across the tree branch and they shoot it, and I was like, fuck, if they can see you, though, why would you not go back into the shadows? And literally, as she did, and Mitch went, that's because that's what they're trying to get her to do. And then they fucking axe to the face. And I was like, oh, that's how I die, apparently.
All you got to do is open your mouth. So it's nice and easy. Chelsea grin.
Nice big target here.
But it's the fact that her body just obviously falls and it's like, yeah, cool.
Oh, fucking gnarly. Humble.
Humbled.
So,
were you humbled by her death?
I was a bit because, again, my instinct was like, well, get hide in the shadows. And I was like, oh, never mind. Three fingers is there. But yeah.
So yeah, I definitely would not take three fingers off a tree.
No, literally, fuck that. So would that be the bit? Are you coming back to save us and setting the house on fire? No, you'd be off getting the coppers.
Yeah, you're on your own. You're a strong, independent woman. You can deal with it. You're all right.
Tied to a bed. Yeah, great. Thanks.
It's fine.
Thanks.
Charlie will kick the door in and get you off the...
Charlie's the one abandoning us every time.
Oh. Yeah, no, I'm already out of there. I'm already on the freeway.
Katie's the one that's going to save me at the end of the day.
I'll try my best.
Thanks, I appreciate it, because these two fucking won't.
No.
But then I liked it because it was like, okay, if we set everything on fire, that's kind of final. Turns out it wasn't, because obviously they are able to survive that. Who knew?
Crispy hillbillies.
Yeah, I felt like even though, yeah, this was like an hour and 20, that's where it kind of, the continuity was difficult for me, because then when you thought something was the final scene, it wasn't. Mm. And it kind of carried on a lot longer than it could have maybe stayed in one place, the scene, like, except for and then instead of it kind of going back to the house again and all of that. And I don't know, I feel like a horror or this kind of film should be like step one, two, three.
They needed to blow their budget though.
Yeah, and obviously like that fucking explosion scene, like no expenses, like literally.
They got their money's worth, that's for sure.
They really did. So I just feel like it was a bit back and forth, and maybe this film needed a bit more of a more simple pattern to it. But that was where it kind of was like, oh, okay, we're going back here now then. Okay, this is happening. Three Finger is still fucking alive.
Only to be alive. Found by a copper. A copper. Why do they? Like, we see the police twice. Why do they keep sending them out on their own? Like, if your fucking coppers aren't coming back, why are you saying, oh, go and check on Jeff? No, fucking send a team. Don't send them one by one to just die.
Police cuts.
But it's
police cuts.
It's the same as the local at the gas station. Mm. Like, he knows that it's a shit area. The coppers in that area know that there's weird lot like up there, so they don't want to. They can't enforce it because there's no way that you can enforce it and live to tell the tale.
Also, it's West Virginia. Trespassing, getting shot on your property, it's allowed.
Exactly. They don't care if you're the president. You walk onto their garden and they're going to be like, I'm going to fucking tear your head off. Not true.
So, do you know what I mean? I'm like...
You'd be a pretty bad cop if you, like, didn't... If you were just like, yeah. No, I'm too scared.
Yeah.
I guess in this case, it's more like checking that the fire's gone out and, like, not sprayed anywhere, because obviously it's a pretty big explosion.
But still, don't... And again, all we hear about the police and cops in America is that they have partners. So, again, where's their partner?
Well, it's dead, aren't they? That's why they're on rations.
Well, no, because they keep dying because they keep going to check on the rednecks. Like, literally, why... Where are their fucking partners? Like, ugh.
Send out a whole team.
The partner's actually in the bathtub.
Yeah, because I couldn't remember in this film whether, like, the cops were aware... Like, what kind of aware that this was happening. Like,
they will.
Well, Mitch obviously, like, yeah, Mitch said they were, but I, yeah, when I was watching it, I was like, do they know about this? Are they just purposely avoiding it?
So you think yes, but I think no, because when that cop finds a dead body at the end, he's really surprised. When the first cop turned up, I did absolutely expect him to be in on it. So I was actually quite surprised when he died, because I was like expecting him to be part of it.
He died so soon as well.
Yeah. I was like, oh, you're not their brother then.
Yeah, or like even the old man that warns you, like sometimes in some kind of other hillbilly films, they are in on it as well, or they're part of the family.
But he, oh yeah. Again, going to a later film, he is in on it.
Yeah.
Right.
He's related to them.
I see. That would have been quite cool. If the old man was kind of in on it as well. But I mean, I had weird feelings about him because it was fucking hot and he was drinking strawberry milkshake. And like,
who does that?
Yeah, red flag. Yeah, but it was like warm from a carton.
Oh, yeah, that is fucking weird.
I was it's not like a nice fresh one.
I thought you were taking the piss out of the fact I had one on Saturday.
No, that wasn't like a shady comment.
No, it's because I was drunk and milkshakes soak up that alcohol.
It was just like a thick, milky thing that was all around his lips and it kind of
gave me a bit. Wow.
What?
Thick
what have I said?
Thick, milky substance all around his mouth.
Yeah, well, I think it was milkshake.
I mean, they are hillbillies.
Yeah, Three Finger might have been.
Inbred hillbillies, you never know where it's coming from.
Mix of blood, sperm and every other bodily fluid. Stop it!
Fucking hell. We're going to need like a content warning on this episode.
Yeah. What have we mentioned? Incest.
Hillbilly slander.
Yeah.
If you're a hillbilly, don't listen to this episode.
Yeah, you won't like it.
If you're Three Finger, I'm really sorry if we've offended you.
You're going to come and murder.
I'm really sorry, but
Anyway, sorry, we're going anyway.
So I was just looking at some of the SFX stuff because I'm being terrible, and even my SEX, as Charlie's now calling it, because I got busy and couldn't do it beforehand. I'm really bad at my homework at the moment. I don't really know the other two actors. I'm going to feel really horrible when I look them up and realise I've seen them in 100 things, but I don't really know Sawtooth or One Eye. I'm just doing a quick look at Sawtooth to see if I know him from much. No. Oh, he's in The Love Guru, as you do. Oh, I'm Goosebumps. However, we do know Julian Richings, and I'm very quickly turning this podcast into, hey, look, another supernatural actor. But...
You really are.
I really am.
Well, it's funny, though, because it plays together, because he plays Death, and you can't kill Death. So Three Fingers throughout all wrong turns doesn't die. So
there we go.
Meant to be.
There's a method in his madness.
Literally, and he is mad. But he's also English. He is also English, and although like he's the kind of guy you'd walk down the street and you probably wouldn't recognize him unless you were like a real fan of him, but he's been in over 50 films and 20 separate TV shows. Like, he's everywhere. And this was because he came up in this, and I was looking up the SFX, and I was like, that's Julian Richings. Like, and the way they make him look so disgusting, and then he is him, so he's going, ah. Charlie, do the impression for us. Like, he's so good. It makes it so good.
Excellent.
You watch the, like, behind-the-scenes stuff, and obviously they were in makeup for hours. But they're, like, applying it. They've, like, even went, like, to make their teeth all disgusting.
Well, he's not going to have a nice set of teeth on him, is he, if he's inbred?
Not really, no.
He's got some veneers.
That's what you have to check when you're, like, on dating profiles. You're like, have they got nice teeth or are they inbred?
Got one done.
That's actually how they can... There is actually, like, that's obviously true, is that the teeth... But there was a girl who, like, found out that, like, someone in her semi-recent family history was, like, married their cousin was because of her teeth. Because the dentist was like, I can't remember. The dentist very politely basically asked if there was incest in the family. I think it was like her grandparents. And it was like, anyway, it was a Reddit thing I found. I thought it was really funny. But when they were doing the makeups, it was Stan Winston's studio that were doing it. And they basically, for everything, they wanted to keep it medically accurate. So for any of the deformities, they never did anything more extreme than what could actually be real.
Catalogued. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so what we have seen, I say we as if I personally, but what we have seen in human history as people having these actual abnormalities, like growths, whatever. So, but they wanted it obviously to make it look more realistic. They wanted them to be medically accurate. So it wasn't just going to be, oh, he has a second head. Because, I mean, as far as I know, I don't think that's the case, but it may be. I don't know everything about science.
I mean, there's quite a few pairs of twins over in America with, like, multiple sets of heads and stuff.
Well, there was the twins who were connected at the head, the conjoined twins. There was another, oh my God, there's lots of cases. But again, I think that was, and they were just trying to keep it so it would look as realistic as possible. And I really love that. And I did actually write down the name Tony McRae because he was the mole department coordinator. So I thought that'd be a pretty good mention because obviously I can only imagine the amount of molds they had to use for this. Just the amount they had to do it. I do want to, I'll probably share you with you guys this video. And if anyone wants to know that, it's literally just on YouTube. It's just makeup effect wrong turn 2003. But you can see them having it done behind the scenes.
So is this the kind of film... Is this the kind of film that you'd want to work on, Tal?
Yeah. Can you imagine? Like, because again, it's real. They actually did all the application. It wasn't CGI or anything. It was actual application.
Good.
And it was working. And I think that's the thing as well. So again, I'm bigging up one actor out of the three because I know more of his work than the other two. Also, he was like hysterically more than the other two. But... Yes, you can add as much SFX as you want. Yes, you can add the molds and everything. If someone just stands in the corner, they're only so creepy. He brings it to another level. Like when he's doing that. There we go. It makes it so much creepier. So he does it so well. And I think, again, you see that in some of his other roles where even like in less makeup and that, where they make him really drawn because he is a very tall, skinny man. So they make him more drawn and skeletal and it just makes him look even creepier. But he
has he been in anything else? In terms of horror films?
He's been in loads. I think he's in Man of Steel. Someone called
Lord. Horror films.
He's in The Witch.
He's in The Witch.
He's in
okay.
You know, Charlie's got it open now as well.
Yeah, he's in bloody loads in a couple of George Romero stuff. He's in Percy Jackson and the Lightning Thief.
He's in Survival Polar, of the Dead. Frontier, Patriot. I think that's a horror.
Or Polar Express.
He's in something called Creeped Out, which I haven't seen yet, but it looks scary and it's called Creeped Out. So.
He's also in like some sort of... He's in Dead Silence.
Yeah. Orphan Black, Blood Hunters, is in loads. But All Hallows Eve too. Hannibal.
Okay.
Yeah. Man gets around.
He's one of those people you will have seen and you just won't know it.
Oh, he's in Beau's Afraid.
Yeah. So it's just really funny that when we suddenly realised it was him under all that makeup. And the worst thing is once you realised, you could not see it. But there we go.
It is definitely a testament to the SFX because he's not an unattractive bloke. And the fact that they've made him look like whatever kind of abomination that he is fucking
But I also love the fact he's English because, I mean, the English play the best bad guys. Even when they're...
Absolutely.
Okay, on to the most important question. We have actually flagged this a few times this evening, but would you survive Wrong Turn, Charlie? And you fucking say yes because I don't drive.
Because I would have stayed in the traffic jam.
Yes, I would have survived.
Ow.
I've watched too much Ray Mears to survive in the wilderness. I reckon I could survive a day or three out there, make my way back down to the...
I think that's not really the problem. I think it's more the cannibalistic hillbillies that you're going to have there. That you're going to have the problem with.
I'll punch him on the nose.
They kicked him out of a tree and he was fine.
I don't care.
I'll fuck him up.
I'll fuck him up somehow. They're all going down.
No, I'll be
the hunter at the end of this. They'll be watching their bats. They'll be like, no, I can't fuck with this one. I'll bring them down.
No, you need a better reason than this.
Well, that is my reason. I'm going to fuck them up.
How are you going to fuck them up?
Well, I don't know. Figure out how to go. No, but
that's the game. That's what you've got to figure out.
Yeah, Charlie, come on, man. I'll figure it out. It's not an answer.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I'll fuck them up.
Okay.
Okay. Katie?
That's not an answer, Charlie.
Oh, that's a cough out.
All right, we're coming back to you, Charlie, because you need a proper answer. Katie, will you survive?
My immediate answer is no. But then I think that just is for every film that we cover. But I feel like I need more confidence.
We're going to die, mate.
No, fuck off. I'm going to survive. Now you've said that, it's made me want to survive even more.
But how are you going to survive then?
Well, there's three of them. I guess the kill count is pretty... Is it high? I don't know.
Yeah, did you see me in my cars?
They killed 5 and 2 survived.
Yeah, but... Okay, yeah, ones that are on screen.
They tend to take one at a time, though. That's when they're...
You know what, fuck it, yeah, I'm gonna up my cardio. I will just kind of run. I'll run away from them. I'll run, and that is how I'm gonna survive.
As long
because
as
I always say that. I always say I'm not gonna survive, and this time I am. So I'll run fast and I'll get really good at archery.
I'll teach you, Katie, don't you worry.
Thanks. I have more of a reason than Charlie to survive, so there we go.
Fuck off.
Gontel and Mitch.
Okay, so I was gonna say I had a good chance because at first I was like they're just people, however the longer the film goes on the more you realize they're fucking invincible. I am archery qualified, so if I can get my hands on a bow and arrow, I have a weapon. I do drive and I don't worry about stealing someone else's if I need to get away from fucking this. The other thing as well, and I am, like, if I'm out in this wilderness, I'm probably with Mitch, and you're probably about to say this. But you have a map of, if we go for a walk, Mitch has a map of the area so that he actually knows where the fuck we are. We're not running circles. Also, I wouldn't have gone into the fucking cabin because that would have been the big red flag. So I think I would have stood a chance until the treetop adventures. Because as I said, when we got to that part, my instinct when they shot the arrow into the tree was to go back into the shadows. And that's exactly what they wanted to do. So I'd have been fine until that point. And then I'm Carly. And I think that would have been my downfall.
You're getting chopped in the face then.
Yeah. I mean, I have the biggest gob to like...
Rip.
Rip. Mitch, what about you? Well, you're leaving me behind to die, so...
So the cop-out answer is, the moment my car got wrapped up in barbed wire, I'd have been like, no, I'm all right, actually. I'm just going to go back the other fucking way and not die. But I'd like to think, when they did originally first walk into that cabin, because of who I am, I think I would have instantly gone, oh, there's knives all over the table. I'm going to take a knife. If there's a gun in there, I'm going to take the fucking gun. I'd like to think if I got hold of a rifle, I'd probably do okay. But that would probably be me sat in a corner crying and shooting at anything that moved. But I'd assume that my cardio would eventually let me down because I don't like fucking running. So I'd shoot until I ran out of ammo and then just be like, nah, I tried. You can have me. That's fine.
So you'd be fine till you had to run uphill.
Yeah. And I'm like, you know what? Kill me. I'm not fucking done with it.
Okay. So you think you would survive unless you had to run for a long time?
I think I'd hold out for a while and then I'd eventually just get bored.
So am I the only one dying?
Oh, no. Yes. I'd die for sure.
Watch this be a real scenario one day and me be the fucking final girl. But I don't want this to be a real scenario one day because then I lose all my friends and my partner.
Oh, you wouldn't lose all your friends.
Just me and Charlie.
Just you two.
Yeah, you still have the other ones.
Just come back and cry.
They're not as good though. Exactly. We're like top tier quality friends and the other ones are like,
So you guys have been around for a while. It's harder to get rid of you.
So guys, what are we rating Wrong Turn 2003 spooks out of 5, and what is our favorite spook? And Tel, I'm actually going to come to you first, even though you've just put something in your mouth. That sounded wrong.
It was an aero bubble.
What you call it?
Yeah. Minty fresh.
Not some thick milkshake.
Lord of Mincock.
So, my spook would be the scene in the house. Oh, fuck, we didn't even mention it. The scene in the house where they're under the bed and they drop the Francine girl because she's still alive. And I completely forgot to flag this earlier. She's still alive and she's got the barbed wire like in her mouth.
You can see her breathing.
Yeah, and I think for me, that was probably the worst bit because it's one thing to just be dead. It's another thing to know that she's got that in her mouth. They've driven her for God knows how long and she's now just bleeding out slowly. And that was so much worse. And then it was obviously followed by a very, very tense scene. And I love that shot of Carly's eyeball, like as they're looking through the door. And obviously Scott's just holding her to like keep her really quiet. And I was just like, that's really fucking cool. I'm going to give it, I don't know, because I don't hate it, but it's not great. maybe a 2.5? I'm going to give it out of 5. And I've written it down, so I'm sticking with that answer. Mitch, what about you?
So when they're trying to get out of my favourite bit, when they're trying to get out of the cabin.
Yeah.
And they're all trying to be sneaky, sneaky. Chris Flynn grabs the spring-loaded door to keep it quiet. Chris Flynn. To keep it quiet so they can sneak out. And they're doing an excellent job. And then the camera pans back to Sawtooth. And he's just glaring at him from the bed. That's the point. You know you fucked up and there's nothing you can do. And you are now all going to die.
Yes.
was sketchy because that was like a 1,000-yard death stare and it was just, it makes all the hair on the back of your neck stand up. It's horrible.
Also, why did Jesse have to open that door that wide? Like, they could have just stuck, like, you didn't have to open the door fully. They could have just But anyway, sorry. And your spook out of five.
See, I don't know, because that's a hard one. Yeah. It's like I already said, it's when someone says horror film, this is always what pops into my head. Mm. Not Saw, not Chainsaw Massacre, not Grudge. This is always what the first thing that comes into my head. So for me, I think it's always going to be rated quite highly. The SFX, the tension that it pulls continuously makes it like at least a 4.5.
Yeah.
I don't think I can give it perfect because it has not aged particularly well, but it's still at least 4.5.
Do you know what? The worst thing is as soon as you said SFX, my brain went shit. I should have given it higher.
But the amount of shit that goes into that is sitting at a makeup hell.
Okay, fine. I'm going to a 3 because I hadn't considered the SFX. But now I'm going to stop being swayed. Charlie, what about you? What's your spook and your spooks?
My spook. Oh, I'm stuck between both the eye watching, like open as they're leaving the building, same as Mitch. And also, I mean, I do just love the final scene. And like I say, the final scene where everything sets alight and it all kicks off. I love that. So I'm stuck between probably one of them just because of the final scene is just ridiculous. And then my spook, I'm going to give it 2.5 out of 5. It's a fun film. It does get quite, like, a bit scary. Not scary, but, like, it just builds suspense, but the acting just lets it down. So, yeah, it's not great, but it's not completely dire as well. How about you, Katie?
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Mitch. I think the... Sawtooth bit was pretty grim, and that was probably the scariest bit, so I'll agree with him there. And I'm going to give it a 2 spooks. I didn't enjoy it as much as I did, I think, when I first watched it, and kind of the reasons I gave at the beginning, it just didn't really live up. I can appreciate the nostalgia of it, and the credits scene, you know, Breaking Benjamin, and you've got House of Wax at the similar time that did My Chemical Romance. So that kind of thing you can appreciate, but because it is nostalgic. But I think as a horror film goes, it's not my favourite. So yeah, it's going to be a 2 for me.
Amazing. All right, that was, okay, so that was our Wrong Turn episode, or our episode of Wrong Turn, I never know what to say. Join us again in a couple of weeks for our final episode of this season. And then we'll also maybe sprinkle in some clues about what we may be doing for Halloween, because it's obviously coming up soon. But check us out on all the socials to see what we're up to in the meantime. And yeah, why not get into the spooky season mood? I'm rambling, so bye.
And thanks, Mitch, for joining us this episode. Do you plan on coming back?
Thanks, ladies, for having me. I'll come back if you want me to, but I will sit there and be overly critical of everything that happens and be like, you're fucking stupid. Obviously, if you open that door, you're going to die.
To have you back.
Can you be our technical advisor?
I can be the tech advisor, that's fine.
When it's my birthday episode and I pick like my ultimate favourite, are you gonna come on and just rip it down?
I'm gonna make Ethan Hawke look like the shittest person alive.
We may have to break up.
That's fine.
We broke up over Ethan Hawke. Oh well, Mitch, it's been great and we'd love to have you back on.
I know
Tel didn't mention that in her final amazing thing, so I thought I should.
I was gonna
cheers,
thank you later.
Cheers, Mitch.
Okay. Well, you can do that and I'll just thank him.
Why is everything dirty tonight? Oh my god.
You're a pervert.
I'm a virgin.
Wow. That's quite true.
And on that note.
On that lovely note, goodbye. We will see you in a couple of weeks.
Don't die. Otherwise,
Three Finger will get you.
Yeah.
You'll get three fingers.
Three fingers up a tree.
Three fingers up a tree. Are you done being dirty?
Mate, that was all you.
Don't ask me dirty. I'll fuck
Wow.